Overcomer and Overcoming. And this is our second lesson this week that we will be going through. And I just believe that as we go through this, it's not anything revolutionary. It's not something you've never heard before. But, you know, the Bible says to bring back to our memory. And when we bring it back, it's like how a cow chews the cud. You get the most nutrition from going back over it and by going back into the Word. I saw something this week I hadn't seen before. Amen. I'm so happy when I read the Bible and something jumps out at me that I hadn't noticed before, because it's a revelation, and maybe in a future time I'll teach on it, but it was just so astounding. And so that's why we read God's Word, because it is huge. You know, the Quran only has 114 what they call surah or chapters. And in terms of content, it has a lot less than the Bible. The Bible has over 3 million English words, and it has so much. But not only that, it has so many layers of meaning. Salvation, the gospel message, is plain and very easy to understand. But there are other things that we have to study, and that's why Paul told Timothy to study, to show yourself approved, a workman, not ashamed. So that when someone asks you something about what you believe, why you believe, you're able to defend it. You're able to give scripture. You're able to state the reason for your faith. So today we're going to be studying about overcoming. And last week was kind of general. But this week I want to go to a key part of an overcomer, and that is faith. Right? Faith. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And that's why this is key to getting victory. Because if you're looking at your present circumstances, it would seem impossible. It would seem you can't do it. And this is where faith comes in. And it says, this is the victory. The core of an overcomer is faith. Because you can't see the end. You can't even really see the left and the right and how it's going to work out. You know, it's like Psalms 119, one of the verses says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." And when you think about that, all a lamp will do is show you what? It shows you the next step. It never really illuminates the whole path. All you see is enough to take the next step. You can't really see the whole thing. And for most of us, it'd be a good thing, because if we saw all the things that were ahead of us, we'd probably be like a deer frozen in headlights. We'd be just paralyzed with fear. You know, we wouldn't move. But the Word of God just gives us the next step. That's why he said, "Give us this day our daily bread." He didn't say, you know, plan for the next 10 months. Now, I'm not saying be stupid and not take into account what you have to do to pay your bills. But we shouldn't be so fearful, because the walk that we are called to as Christians is a walk of faith. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. When you can stand and you can't see your way out, but you still trust God. When there doesn't seem, how is this going to work? How is it going to be possible? This is the victory. That's a verse to meditate upon. I'm sure if I was to ask all of you, there are things right now that you are dealing with. Well, I want you to take this verse and really meditate. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Even when we can't see how we're going to get out of this, we can't see a direction. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So I'm going to talk about an overcomer's faith this week. And of course, one of the greatest chapters on faith is Hebrews chapter 11. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is." That means that he exists. "And that he is a rewarder of them that occasionally seek him." You know, Easter, Christmas Christians. You know, they come to church Easter and Christmas. It's the diligently seek him. That is key. I'm going to give you another key today. This is key to getting your prayers answered. Diligence. Not giving up. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Even though you haven't had an answer. Even though, like Daniel, it's been 20 days. You started praying and there was no answer. You keep on seeking. It's the diligent. It's the diligent. It's when you seek with your whole heart, when you're not holding anything back, is when you will get victory. That's been my experience. You know, sometimes we pray those going to bed prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord. That's not the kind of prayer that's going to cut it. It's when you are diligent, when you are seeking God with your whole heart. With your whole heart. And there are some keys to being an overcomer. It is impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently. What does diligent mean? Anyone? Okay, all of those are good. Any more adjectives to describe diligence? What's diligence? Passionately? Earnestly? Those are all good words. Any more? Yeah, if your faith, I mean, if you're diligent, you do it over and over again. A friend of mine, retired, actually, who works with my son, who was a friend of mine from many years ago, from the 80s, and we worked together. And one of the things I admire about him, even though he's not a Christian in our sense, was his work ethic. He was nothing but diligent. I mean, he was just a workaholic. He was extremely diligent in everything he did. I'm the kind of person that I work under pressure, but if I'm not under pressure, I can tend to just cruise until I let it go till about 5 minutes to midnight, and then I get into another gear. But he wasn't like that, and I wish I could be like that. He was just even Steve. You see, a true professional at anything, here's my definition of a professional, is someone who you don't even know may not like what they're doing. Why? Because they still do it diligently. You can't even tell that they don't like what they're doing because they go at it with such a diligence. That's what diligence means. It means not giving up, not being inconsistent. It means being constant. Diligently seek him. I like this modern translation. It says, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, there's another word, earnestly seek him. You got a problem right now? You got an issue? When I have a real problem, you know what? I can't even sometimes sleep. I'm there, Lord, you got to do something about this. It's in my mind. I wake up and I say, Lord, this is an issue. I'm talking to him continually. I'm beating down the door. I'm going to keep on until I get an answer. That's just me. You have to be passionate about it if you want an answer. Now, why is this? And I'll get to that. It's not that God doesn't hear you, but he wants you to be really invested into this. Sometimes we just, you know, you can have a kid and they say they want something. As soon as you give it, they don't want it anymore. God wants you to be truly passionate, someone said. Let me give you an example of some people who were passionate, who were diligent in seeking something in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it speaks about the birth of Christ. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Jumping down to verse 8. And you know this story, they came looking for Jesus. Now, think about this. They were magi. They were the scientists of their day. They were the astronomers of their day. And because of beliefs and teachings that had been passed down, they knew from the stars that something momentous had happened. A king had been born. Now, they could have just stayed in their country and said, big deal. But this so excited them, they wanted to see what this meant. To them, this was significant. Every Christmas, I tell the story about Daniel and how he was in charge of the Magi in Persia and how it could be, and I'm not going to try and the Christmas story here, how that knowledge, that prophecy of the Messiah may have been passed down centuries into that organization or federation of Magi, that they knew that this had been the promised Messiah, not just for the Jews, but for the whole world. This motivated them to start to follow the star. They didn't really know where it was going. They just kept following it until they came to Jerusalem. And so let's look at this. This cost them money. This cost them time. This cost them effort. They saw something and they responded diligently. I'm giving you an example of diligence. So they came to Herod and they said, "Where is he that should be born king of the Jews?" And of course, Herod did not know. But because it was written in the Old Testament, he called the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were able to look it up in the book of Malachi, I think it's chapter 4. And there in the prophecy, it lays out the exact town where Jesus was to be born. It says, "Though Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be the least of the villages or towns of Israel, out of thee shall come he who shall be ruler of my people." It can't be any plainer than that. Hundreds of years before the event, God specified the town that Jesus was to be born in. Hundreds of years. So the wise men started to go to Bethlehem and they saw the star again. Now to show you an example of diligence. "Go and search diligently for the young child. When he have found," this is Herod, "bring me word again that I may come and worship him." When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And this is the proof that this was not a short search. I've highlighted it in red. "And when they were come into the house..." Now, I know that at Christmas, it always shows the wise men sitting around a stable. But that's not what the story says. It says, "when they were come to the house." What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Now, we know that the night Jesus was born, where was he born? In a manger, in a stable. But when the wise men arrived, where was he now? In a house. In a house. So what does that tell you? It took a while. It was not the next day. It took a while. That shows you that they did not give up. They came all the way hundreds of miles from Persia. I'm telling you about seeking Jesus diligently. And because they sought him diligently, even though they didn't know exactly where he was, they found him. Didn't Jesus say, "Those that seek shall find"? This is an example of diligent. By the time they found him, it could have been up to 2 years. Because if you know the story, Herod, when he found out that the wise men weren't coming back, he gave command that children from 0 to how long? 2 years should be killed. Because that was the span of time from the time when the star first appeared. Remember, he asked them, "What time did the star first appear?" He wanted to know about the time when Jesus would be born so that he could kill those children. So you see, this is an example of diligence. It could have been, well, it was probably many, many weeks and up to 2 years searching for Jesus. Some of us would have given up. "Well, yes, I saw the star." This is the point I'm talking about, being diligent. An overcomer does not give up. And I got more about that to come. But here's an example of someone who was diligent. Some people who could have given up, but they were determined to see Jesus. So here's a trait for an overcomer. You got to be diligent in your prayers. You got to be diligent. That means you got to be earnest, passionate. All the words that were said before. And as you've seen on many bumper stickers, it says, "Wise men still seek him." And we have to be diligent. You were going to say something, Paul? Yeah. Could you come to the microphone? Yes, we're streaming.
So what's your theory as to gone back to Nazareth.
Well, it says they were in Bethlehem. So, and he sent them to Bethlehem. So they did not leave immediately. Now they had come back to their ancestral home. They were there for a little bit. It was after the warning that was given to Joseph that they then fled to Egypt. So they must have been in Bethlehem for a while. The Bible doesn't state exactly, but we know the search from the time the star appeared to when Herod thought to kill the children. He said up to 2 years. So although the Bible is not explicit, we can tell that it was a good long time they were searching.
So then the question would be, they had settled into Bethlehem for 2 years before they went back to Nazareth? Or?
Well, they settled in Bethlehem until they flew
to Egypt?
Right. They did not go to Nazareth from Bethlehem. They went to Egypt.
And then from Egypt they went back to Nazareth.
Right. You know, sometimes, and I want to show you something here, because this also brings out a point. Sometimes when we are comfortable in a place, although it's not the place God wants us, he makes stuff happen. They may have stayed in Bethlehem, but it would not have fulfilled the scripture about where he was going to be coming from Nazareth, from Galilee. He had to fulfill both scriptures. So he was born in Bethlehem, the city of David, but there were scriptures that spoke about him coming also from Nazareth. Sometimes we get into a groove and we're at a place, and because it's comfortable, even though we know it's not really where we should be, we just kind of sit there. And God has to bring some uncomfortable circumstance to make us get up and flee. So they would have stayed there probably until something made them flee, until Joseph had a dream saying, hey, Herod is going to kill this child's life. You have to leave. And so it must not have been too long after the wise men left, because Herod was calibrating the time. He said, after you find him, come back. So it was probably, who knows, a few days or up to maybe a couple weeks after he knew the wise men had reached Bethlehem and had disappeared, that he gave the order that all the children in Bethlehem from up to 2 years old, all the male children, should be killed. So we see, though, that this is an example of diligence. These wise men had a revelation, and they kept on going until they got to the end of it. I'm talking about an overcomer, traits of an overcomer. So the part of an overcomer that is so important is faith. Look at this, John 20, 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus first appeared to the disciples after his resurrection. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see his hands, the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You see, an overcomer is not waiting to see his destiny. You got to see it even though you can't see it. You have to have a vision of how you're going to get out of this thing. You have to see yourself on the other side of the river. He said, no, I have to see it with my physical eyes. We've been teaching a couple Tuesdays ago about the tree of knowledge of good and evil and what that means. It means putting our senses, our own judgment, above the spiritual. And we're relying upon what we can see. You know, as I've said many times, when you go into a court of law and you're about to give testimony, they put your hand on the Bible and they say, will you swear or will you affirm that the truth you're going to tell is the truth? And there's another part they add, the whole truth. And that's very important, because you can tell the truth, but it's not the whole truth. What I'm trying to tell you is the physical senses that we have right now, what we can see, touch, feel, hear, is truth. But it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is the spiritual world, which you can't see. And if you could see it, it would make a difference in your actions. So the devil wants you to rely on what is true, because listen to what he told Eve. It will make you wise. It'll make you like God. You'll have the knowledge of good. But it wasn't the whole truth. The rest of it wasn't really true. you will not surely die. So when we rely on just what we can see, hear, feel, touch, it is the truth. But it's not the whole truth, and it will deceive us, because it will, if we're in a situation and we're looking at the situation, we'll be in despair. We'll be depressed. And I've got a scripture to come to that, but this is what an overcomer must not do, is look with natural eyes. Thomas said, listen, unless I see him and can put my finger in the hole, I'm not going to believe. He wasn't really listening to the fact that the other 10 were telling, listen, Thomas, we saw him. Imagine that. Yes, it was a big miracle, but he had 10 other people who he had walked around with for 3.5 years, and they declared, listen, we saw him. I'm not believing. This is too big a miracle. Sometimes we limit God. We say, well, yes, God can do this, but he can't do that. Right? This is one step too far. He can do this, but he can't do that. This is what Thomas was doing. I mean, and on top of that, Thomas himself had seen many miracles by Jesus, but all he could think about was, I saw the soldier take a spear and shove it in his side. I saw them nail it. I saw them put a big old stone on the grave. That's what I saw. It was the truth, but it wasn't the whole truth. If he could have been around on that Saturday night at sunset and God opened his spiritual eyes, he would have saw some lightning and some thunder in the spiritual world and something leave that tomb. That was the rest of the truth. But he had to see it with his physical eyes. So faith, here I'm giving you a definition. Faith is seeing what has not yet been manifested to your senses. As I've said many times, you have to see in your imagination what it is you're asking God to do. Sister Johnny.
With that being said, Pastor, I just want to comment a little bit even about my daughter with me going through so much with her. But because God has already showed me, you know, that he's going to deliver her. It's Amen. In his timing. Sometimes you have to go through things and you have to suffer things. But still, if you have the faith to believe, because I remember one time when I came home, she was standing outside and not even knowing the Bible. She was just quoting the scriptures, like just straight talking and quoting the scriptures. And that's when God raised my faith to know that he is in control. So even though, you know, certain ones might see her out here on the streets and doing all type of things, and because she has a drug addiction, and I'm not ashamed to say it, because I know that no matter what she might go through or the devil might try to put her through, I know that God is going to deliver her. I know it's in his timing, and I'm going to stand on that. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to believe that. I'm not going to be shaken by what I see the devil doing, because I see he's trying to use her to come against me. But, you know, even in that action, we still have to stand firm on God's word, and I claim God's word no matter what, no matter how much I see her suffer, you know, no matter how much weight I see that she's losing, no matter how much I see her going through things, I won't allow the devil to get to me through her.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly what I'm speaking about. A trait of an overcomer is to see with the spiritual eyes what can't be seen with the natural. You have to have a vision of what the end is going to look like. If you can see the end in your mind, that's the vision. That's faith. Because faith is the substance of what? Right, the evidence of things not seen. If you can see it, then it doesn't take no faith. But it's when you can't see it, now you're going into a different realm. A different realm. So overcoming faith is where believing becomes seeing. Think about that. It's when you believe to the point of seeing, and I wasn't going to say this, but in science, that's almost really the conclusion scientists have come up with. At the very minuscule atomic level, they have come to the conclusion that the observer, the scientist, affects the outcome. What the scientist is looking for changes the outcome of the experiment. And I don't have time to go into it, but at the atomic and nuclear level, in their experiments, that's what they have found. Depending on what the expectation of the result is, they have found that it appears that consciousness changes the result. You know what they what's happening is they are starting to go in to find out that there is more than just what you see. Although you can't measure consciousness, you can't put the soul on a scale and measure it. What scientists are finding out is that there is something about a conscious, sentient, that means intelligent observer, that changes the outcome. They have found that when they're looking for certain atomic results, depending on how they set up the experiment, the fact that there is an observer changes the outcome. That's blowing their minds. They have no real answer for this. The fact that they found out that depending on whether there is an observer in the experiment changes. What they're finding out is that somehow consciousness affects the outcome. Jesus himself said, speak to your problem. Speak to your mountain. Speak to it. There is a power in words based upon the word of God spoken in faith. So overcoming faith, you're going to be an overcomer. You have to start seeing what you believe, even though physically you can't see it. That takes you into another level. That is not natural. People will think you're crazy. You've heard my story about my house, and I know you're tired of hearing me, but after about a year, I had a peace because God had spoken to me and said, you're not going to lose the house. Even though every single thing that I could see with my senses, even finally after 16 months, a letter saying, you've been denied, we're going to foreclose. I had so much faith, I wouldn't accept it. I got on the phone to them and said, this is wrong. This is not right. This letter can't be wrong. And it was like something happened in the spiritual world. The operator said, yes, that is wrong. They agreed with me. That's a mistake. That letter should not have been sent to you. And in fact, here's what we've done for you. And it was just one list of miracles after another. Unbelievable. As she sang the song, indescribable, right? Indescribable. I'm telling you, once you rest in God, anything can happen. When you clear the atmosphere, remember I preached last week, in John's telling of the story, the second time they were on the storm, as soon as he got into the boat arrived. When Jesus gets into your boat, you don't have to worry. An overcomer will start seeing what he believes. Amen. Because you know what? That's how God operates. He calls those things that are not as though they be. So once you are starting to do the same thing, you know what you're doing? You're aligning yourself with God. You're aligning yourself because that's what God does. He calls those things that are not as though they be. And because he does, they come into being. They come into being. Just like scientists are finding out now that whatever the observer expects to happen is what happens. When the observer is not in the experiment, something else happens. Let me show you what I'm talking about, that you can't rely on just your eyes. We know the story of Elisha and his servant. And of course, God had been revealing to the prophet Elisha every time the king of Assyria was trying to attack Israel, to the point where the king of Assyria believed he had a spy so he said, who keeps telling Israel when we're going to attack? Because every time we go to attack them, they're not there. They know our plans. Finally, someone said, it's not because you got a spy, it's because they have a prophet. They have a man of God. And every time you go to tell your plans, the man of God gets the revelation. So the king of Assyria was mad about this. So you know what? He sent a whole army. He found out where Elisha was living. And he sent a whole army to surround the city. And of course, because Elisha's servant was looking at the facts, you know, as scientists would look at the facts, well, here, you got two companies of soldiers. You got 300 men, or maybe more, 1,000 men surrounding this city looking for just you. Just on the facts alone, it's hopeless. You might as well either, we better kill ourselves, Elisha, or just surrender. But you see, it was the truth. They were surrounded, but again, it was not the whole truth. That's the point. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, here's an overcomer. Open his eyes. Now, he wasn't blind, but yet he was blind. Remember what I said, an overcomer sees what others can't see. He sees his vision. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and suddenly now he saw the whole truth. Yes, everything before was true. They were surrounded, but then when he saw how many were surrounding the surrounders, he said, wow, behold the mountain. See, right now, you're looking at the fact you're surrounded. You need to pray and ask God to open your eyes, because all around you is God's warriors. All around you, he's got angels. The Bible said the angel of the Lord encampeth. That means he's there for good. You know, he's not passing through. It said encampeth. What does that mean? It means he's put down roots. If you're a child of God, the angel of the Lord encampeth. He is with you when you don't even see him. What you need to do is pray like Elisha, for open my eyes so I can see more than what I think I see. Because truth, yes, we've got a whole army surrounding you, but that wasn't the whole truth. That's why they say in those courtrooms, tell the truth and the whole truth. I mean, you got to tell the whole story. Satan doesn't want you to know the whole story. Because the whole story, and this is my message later on, is in the end we win. I normally don't tell you the title, but I let that out. In the end, we win. In the end, we win. Open his eyes that he may see. That should be our prayer. If right now you're looking at things in the natural and you can't see a way out, and there's many situations where that is true, you know, where you can't see a way out, you know, what you need to do is say, Lord, open my eyes. An overcomer is like David. He looks back to what God has already done. He's not looking so much at how big and bad the giant is, because if you do, you're not going to fight. All of Israel was paralyzed. He had, you know how many days Goliath had come out and taunted them? I think it was 40 days. He had, every day he'd come out and said, hey, why don't you babies come and send someone to fight me? And he had paralyzed the armies of Israel. You know why? They were looking on the facts. He was 13 or 9 feet tall. His shield weighed like 300 pounds. His spear was like a... That's all true. That's all true. That is the fact. If you're looking at what you're facing with your natural eyes, you'll be like Thomas. Unless God does a miracle. No, that's not how you're supposed to say it. When God does a miracle. When God does a miracle. Are you a child of the King or not? When God does the miracle, see the vision before it happens. See, do, get on God's side. Get aligned with God. He calls those things that are not as though they be. I mean, it may look foolish. It may look stupid to some people. But I've declared several times that I don't get sick. Now, that might be, you know, well, you're tempting fate. Well, I proved it this week. My wife was very sick. And I felt like it was trying to attack me, but I felt a little tickle for a little bit, but I said, no, I shall not get sick. I can't get sick. It can't happen. I'm going to call those things that are not as though they be. Amen? Open his eyes. We got to see. If you're going to be an overcomer, you can't look at your current, you can't look with the tree knowledge. You can't look with your five senses, because if that's all you're looking at, you'll give up. You'll pack up your bags and go home. But you got to pray, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see your supernatural. Let me see the whole truth. Let me see the whole truth. The whole truth is, listen, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And even if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to be there. Amen. See, you won't receive unless you can see it. I'm going to put it backwards. See, we're waiting for God to show up. And in the case of Thomas, he did, to make a point. But I'm just telling you, that won't happen unless you first believe. The Bible says you must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. It's upon us to first believe if you want the impossible to happen. If you want the impossible to happen, you have to align yourself with God's way of thinking, which is the whole truth, not what looks around us. Let me show you this. Habakkuk 2:2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. A vision is something that has not yet happened. And make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Do you have a vision? Do you see God delivering you? Sister Johnny, you said you see God healing and freeing your daughter. That's what we have. Whatever it is you're fighting right now, if you're going to be an overcomer, you got to see it in your mind's eye. You got to use your faith organ, which is your imagination. Now, if you were to close your eyes, everybody, just go along with me. Now, whatever it is that you're fighting right now, I want you to imagine it finished. I want you to imagine it victorious. I want you to see it in your mind's eye, how God would just deliver you. I want you to see it as a done deal. If you can see it, most of you will start to smile. If you really see God bringing this thing through and you start to even just a little bit believe it, you can't help but smile. You can open your eyes now. You see, what I'm doing when I tell you to close your eyes is to block off that tree knowledge. That's why when we want to imagine something, we close our eyes. Because the tree knowledge wants to say, no, that can't happen. Not real, not going to happen. But this is a walk of faith. You won't receive it unless you can see it. Look at this. Habakkuk was told to write down the vision, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, although it may take a while, although you don't see it, you know, Audrey was speaking, it's been 8 years, and I know when her mother first came, she didn't really know much about our church, didn't approve of it, but slowly, slowly, God is doing something. You know why? Because she's been diligent. Diligent means you keep going. You keep going. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, although it may take a while, wait for it. Do not give up, because it will surely, surely come to pass. Let's say that together. Surely, it will come to pass. If it's God's word, it can't but come to pass. If Jesus said it, if it's in the word of God, it is going to happen. Heaven and earth will pass away before his words will. Just because the devil is using the tree knowledge and blocking out our faith sense, you got to shut that out. You got to get into an atmosphere of praise and worship and tell the devil, you're a liar. As I said, when the voice came, when God came looking for Adam and Eve, he didn't ask them, did you pick the fruit? He asked them, who's been talking to you? Who told you you were naked? See, because that's what the devil's power is right now, is deceit and deception. And to tell you you're no good and you're worthless and God is done with you. But listen, you have to have that vision. For yet at an appointed time, God does things, as you said, Sister Johnny, in his time. He has a perfect time. At first, I was getting frustrated. Lord, why don't you fix this thing, this house problem for me? And I couldn't see it. And it wasn't until near the end that I saw why God took so long. Because if he had fixed it after 3 months, I'd have only gotten out a 3 month mortgage. But by the time he fixed it at 16 months, it was $32,000. But I didn't see that. I was in fear for probably the first year till finally God got through to me and said, listen, don't you realize if this was going to happen, they'd have done it already. Don't you see my hand working in this? You are going to keep it. You are going to keep it. And after that, I had a peace. And when you are in faith, you can have a peace that passes human understanding. No matter what threats the devil is putting your way, you will get a peace. When you're in faith, when you have an overcomer's attitude, you see, David didn't look at Goliath and think, well, they're 9 feet tall and he's got a 300-pound shield. And I mean, if David looked at himself, a 17-year-old youth, in fact, they were laughing at him. His elder brother says, wait, why don't you go look after the sheep? What they didn't know is he had a power. And that power was faith. Because faith is a power. Faith is a power. We're going to talk about that some more. I'm talking about overcoming. If you want to be an overcomer, the trait you're going to have is faith. See, the attitude you've got to have is, in Christ, I can do all things. And one of the things about my mother was she instilled in me this thing that I could do anything from a young kid. So I wasn't ever fearful of trying stuff, even though on the face of it, I had no hope. For 30 years when I was working for myself, I was self-employed for 30 years. I would take on jobs I had no business taking on because I really didn't have a clue what I was going to do. But I just had this faith that somehow, with God's help, I was going to do it. And you know what? He never, ever once failed me. So I ended up learning a whole bunch of stuff because that's how you learn when you do something you don't know how to do. And so I would bid on jobs that I had, you know, by the world's estimate, no business going there because I didn't know the job. So as soon as I got the job, I had to go buy a bunch of books and find out how to do it. But you know what? Underneath is the everlasting arms. An overcomer's attitude is, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. That's what you got to tell yourself in the mirror when you get up sometimes. You got to look in the mirror and you can say, I can do all things through Christ, not through myself. I am a failure if it's just me, but through Christ I can do all things. And you need to repeat that every day. Look in the mirror and yes, I can do all things through. Now, if that don't put a smile on your face and give you a little bit more kick, you just keep repeating it till you believe it. Amen? Till you believe it, till it becomes part of your muscle memory, your spiritual muscle memory. You know, athletes, they train to the point where they don't have to think about it. Spiritually, that's where what we should do. We need to train our spiritual muscle memory that when the devil attacks, we already got a scripture. When we look in the cupboard and it's got no food, we can immediately say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, we have a scripture that even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not alone. Thy rod and thy staff. See, if we work on our spiritual muscle memory, we shall be an overcomer. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, one of the devil's things is to make you look in the mirror and see all your faults and mistakes. And I've said this before, I call it navel gazing. You ever just started looking at your navel? You know, seeing if there's any lint in there. It's not really a useful occupation to just sit there looking at your navel, wondering, what's in there? It's not a useful occupation. Navel. But that's what we do. We start to look at ourselves. And that's when you will not be an overcomer. You know what will happen if you start doing that? You will be a loser. You will be a loser. If you start looking, because if I started to think about my own capabilities, I wouldn't even get up here, to be honest with you. I wouldn't. I wouldn't get up here because I can't do nothing. I am doomed to fail in of myself. But we have to look unto Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Here is the overcomer's solution to looking at yourself. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You have to believe that his grace covers you. You have to believe that you are forgiven. You have to believe that you are his favorite. You have to believe that you've got so much blessing coming that you're not going to be able to contain it. Now, do you believe that? Now, even if you don't believe it, you need to start saying it till you believe it. Because that promise is to each and every one of us. It's not to special folk. It's not to pastors, bishops, apostles. It's unto everyone that believes. You have to believe that. If you don't, you're going to start looking at yourself and say, well, how am I going to do this? That's the wrong thing to say. How am I going to do this? The moment you start saying, how am I going to do this, you're probably not going to do it. You're going to say, Jesus, how are we going to do this? How are you going to help me do this? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, I'm not saying there isn't going to be some enduring. There's going to be crosses. There's got to be some crosses. There's going to be some things you have to endure, some things you're going to have to go through. But you can still have joy if you see the end result. If you have a vision of the resurrection, then you're going to get through the cross, Sister Shanita.
in 2011, I was going through a whole bunch of stuff, and everything seemed like it was spiraling out of control. I came to the church on, because I really wasn't coming, but I came to the church one particular day. I had Sister Austin bring me, and there was a speaker here. And before I came down here, I was having anxiety every day, all day. And I just didn't want to go home. I wanted to stay here, but I knew I couldn't. So before I came down here, I was at the standing back there in the in my seat, well, by my seat, and I was like, I believe, Lord, I believe. And I said it about 6 or 7 times to convince myself that I was going to believe that he was going to change my situation so that I didn't have to go back home. And God did just that. He sent the word through the man that I didn't even know at the front to tell me and comfort me.
So amen. 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 You need to speak to yourself. The Bible said David encouraged himself. He came home one time and the army had come, these enemies had come and taken all the family, all of his men's wives and children and all their supplies, had taken them all away. Now he could have said, you know what? I don't understand what you're doing, God. You said I was anointed. You sent Samuel to me. You poured the oil on me. How could all these things be happening? How come now I'm suffering? How come they came and took away all? I'm supposed to be anointed. What's going on, God? But you know what David did? The Bible said he encouraged himself. How did he do that? Well, just look at the book of Psalms. Look at all the things he wrote. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. Look at Psalms 27. I shall not fear. Look at all the things. You know what? That's why David was an overcomer, because it's not that bad things are not going to happen to us. While we're in this world, bad things are going to happen to us. But it's how you deal with them. When you have an overcomer's attitude, you're going to look at it and you're going to see not just the truth of that situation, but you're going to see the whole truth. I'm going to get through this. With God's help, he's going to deliver me out of them all. He encouraged himself. Let me show you some overcomers and in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11 by 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. That took nothing but faith. Go and kill your son and offer him to me. You don't hear even an argument from Abraham. He doesn't even say, well, why, Lord? You know why? He believed that even if he killed his son, God had already told him, out of your seed is going to be multiple nations. So you know what he was expecting? When I kill him, he's going to rise back up again. That was why Abraham was able to go through, because he wasn't expecting his son to stay dead. As I've said so many times, you may have a dead situation, but when Jesus is in there, he can say, arise. Abraham believed in the resurrection. So even though God told him, was testing him to kill, he was looking for him. Okay, I know what's going to happen now. He's going to rise back up. Look at this. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He knew that through this same boy was going to be more children. So the only way that could happen is even if he was dead, just as Jesus said about Lazarus, yet shall he live. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I'm going to jump down because you know all the heroes of faith, but listen to what an overcomer does. Who through, how? Through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. That's a very important one. Did you know you can obtain a promise from God just by believing? Just by believing. Look at this. Through faith, obtained promises. Stop the mouths of lions. Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver you? Oh, yes, king, live forever. God will send an angel. Even if you're in the lion's den. And he can stop the mouth of the devourer. If you're an overcomer, your attitude is, listen, if God be for me, who can be against me? Stop the mouths of lions. Quench the violence of fire. The three Hebrew boys told King Nebuchadnezzar, listen, we're not going to bow down and worship you. So God is going to deliver us one way or the other. He's going to deliver us by death, or he's going to deliver us by life. But either way, we're delivered. Once you kill us, we're out of your hands. There's nothing more you can do. See, I'm telling you, this is the attitude of an overcomer. Quench the violence of fire. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness. This is a very important one, because a lot of us, we are weak. We're not as strong as we should be. But listen to what God has also promised. Out of weakness. Out of weakness. Look at this. Out of weakness, we're made strong. That reminds me of 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul says, I prayed for God to take away this thing 3 times and he didn't. But then he revealed to me that it's in my weakness his power is manifested. That's why when you totally depend on God, even though we have weaknesses, even though we have faults and failures, he's calling those things that are not as though they be. He's looking at you through different eyes than you're looking at you. As long as you are fighting this fight, he's calling you perfect. He's calling you my beloved. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens or the foreigners. Women received their dead raised to life again. Elijah went in, and the woman who had built him a room said, my son is dead. He took the boy and he laid upon him. And it wasn't instant. He had to pray a little bit more. But you know what? That boy came back to life. Women received their dead raised to life again. I'm talking about an overcomer. Others were tortured. It's not explicit in the Bible, but it is through tradition that the prophet Isaiah was sawn in two. Put between two planks and was sawn in two. Over the ages, many, many millions, hundreds of thousands of Christians have been tortured to death. Not accepting deliverance. That means they could have gotten out of it. They could have gotten out of it. But you see, they had a vision. They saw an end. Not accepting deliverance so that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know we're all going to die, but you better be in the better resurrection. So it does matter how you go, in the sense of if you die in Christ, because then you're going to have a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. As I said, it doesn't mean that in this life we're not going to have tribulation. But Jesus said this, I have overcome. I have overcome. Therefore, you can too. Because I have, you can too. Amen. See, one of the other keys of an overcomer is seeing Jesus. In that word where it says seeing, the actual word doesn't just mean looking at Jesus. It means looking exclusively. It means not looking at other things. As soon as Peter started to look at the storm, the truth, which was there was a bad storm, instead of looking at the complete truth, who was Jesus, what happened? Began to sink. Took his eye off of Jesus, who is the truth, right? The Bible says, I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when it says looking, it in the Greek there, it means much more than just looking at Jesus. It means not looking at other things. It means really being focused. When we're focused on Jesus, he is going to keep us walking on the water. He's going to keep us walking on the water. There were some people that came looking for Jesus in John 12, 21. The same came before to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, and they said, sir, we would see Jesus. They had heard about him, but that wasn't enough. They wanted to experience the man for themselves. You need to experience him for yourself. It's not good enough me telling you what God has done for me. You need to experience it for yourself, and you can. They said, we would see Jesus. And even in the Old Testament, this is key for an overcomer. Abraham saw Jesus. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And then he went on to say, in the book of Hebrews, Abraham coming back from the fight, he met this character called Melchizedek. And Melech means king, Zedek means righteousness. This person was called the King of Righteousness, who had neither beginning or end of days. The Bible speaks about Jesus that he was of the order of who? This person, Melchizedek, blessed Abraham. Jesus spoke about Isaiah. Isaiah saw his glory. When you think about overcomers in the Old Testament, it's people who had a vision of Christ. Job himself, even though he went through all these hardships, he said, "One day I know that my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him for myself." He had a vision past all of his suffering. He said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and one day I'm going to see him for myself. I'm going to see him for myself." That's how he was able to get through all of his tribulations. He was seeing the end result. Yeah, I'm going to die. I might die, but I'm going to live again because I know that what my Redeemer liveth. I'm running out of time, but I'm trying to hurry here. Let's go on. An overcomer never gives up. This is in a modern translation, Proverbs 24:16. The godly man may trip or fall down 7 times, but they will get up again. But one disaster is enough to overthrow the wicked. You know, some people, as soon as something happens, oh, they give up. I can't hack this anymore. But if you are an overcomer, even if you fall down 7 times, you're going to get back up. I'm going to go back to church. Yeah, I failed this week, but I'm coming back. I'm going to pray through again. I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. I'm going to get hold of the horns of the altar. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. And that's all part of being loved, because love, the Bible says, never fails. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Through every circumstance. True love. I'm rushing this, but I wanted to tell you what the result of being an overcomer is. Because God has found overcomers in every kind of church. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, it lays out the 7 churches to which messages were given. And in each one, there's something special for the overcomer. Look at this. Revelation 2:7. I think the first church was Ephesus. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." To him, here's a promise. This is what you need to have a vision of. This is the end result. This is what you got to have in your mind, no matter what you're going through. "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life." Now, if you get to eat of the tree of life, where are you? You're in paradise. You're just like the thief on the cross. Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with me." This is the promise of the overcomer. You're going to be in the garden of God. You've gone back into the garden. You're back in Eden. You're in the paradise of God. To the second church, here's what I'm trying to show you. In every single church, no matter what their circumstance, there was a promise for the overcomer. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." That means you are not going to die. You are going to be immortal. God has granted an overcomer that you're going to have eternal life. Third church, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." This was angel food. I know they have some stuff on the shelf called angel food, but this was the real deal. This was the bread of life. This was the stuff that they had for 40 years, the longest miracle of the Bible. God has said, "You're going to eat that. That's heavenly bread. And guess what? I'm going to give you a white stone." This is a gemstone. It's not a stone as we know. It's speaking about a gemstone. "And in the stone, a new name written." If you remember in the Old Testament, the priest had 12 stones on his breastplate of a different color. Well, in the new kingdom, when we become kings and priests, we are given a gemstone with our name written on it. Amen. "To him that overcometh." See, I'm telling you some things that you need to keep in your vision to become an overcomer. "To the fourth church, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Do you know the Bible says that we shall reign and rule? When you become an overcomer, God's got something in store for you. Amen. Maybe you don't want to come back and rule Milwaukee, but maybe he's got somewhere else for you. Amen. Revelation 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. That means God has got a promise of righteousness upon your life. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but your name will be dropped in heaven. Hast thou considered my servant Job? Your name is going to be called in heaven when you're an overcomer. He'll send an angel very quickly, dispatched on your behalf. You got to fix that problem. My son is crying out to me. My daughter is crying out to me. They're an overcomer. You need to clothe them with some righteousness. I will not blot out of his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name. Your name's going to be called before the angels. See, your name may never have been called in the powers and corridors of power of this world, but there is a place that is higher than that, where your name, Jesus says, I will call out your name. I will confess your name before my Father and his angels. Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. What he's saying is that you are always going to be with him. Amen. That he's going to dwell with you continuously. Amen. God has got so many promises for the overcomer. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and I'm sat down with my Father in his throne. If you could stand with me. Amen. We have so many exceedingly great and precious promises for an overcomer. I hope today you will grab onto some of these scriptures. You will hold on to some of these thoughts. No matter what you're facing, tell the devil, yes, it's the truth. The situation looks bad, but it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is Jesus, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you had him add Jesus to the equation, the picture changes. What was death turns to life. What was despair can turn to joy. What was impossible turns to possible. Because with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. All things are possible. We need to hold on to the words of God, not my words, but to some of these promises. And whatever you're facing today, tell yourself, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. If you could bow your hearts with me, Father, we just thank you today for your word. Help it to find good soil that we can be an overcomer. Lord, as you found a promise in every single church to be an overcomer, we ask you right now to minister to us these same words.